Colleagues, I'd like to introduce you to Maude Barlow. Maude is the National Chairperson of the Council of Canadians, Canada's largest citizens' advocacy organization with over 100,000 members. She's the founder of the Blue Planet Project, which works to stop commodification of the world's water. She's also a director with the International Forum on Globalization, a San Francisco-based research and education institution opposed to economic globalization. Maude is the recipient of numerous educational awards and has received honorary doctorates from four Canadian universities, and I understand she's in line for two more for her social justice work. She's the best-selling author and co-author of 14 books. Her most recent publications are Blue Gold, The Fight to Stop Corporate Theft of the World's Water, which she wrote with Tony Clark, now published in 40 countries, Profit is Not a Cure, A Citizen's Guide to Saving Medicare, Making the Links, A People's Guide to the WTO and the FTAA, also written with Tony Clark, and The Canada We Want, A Citizen's Alternative to Deep Integration. Maude is an inspiration to teachers in this province on the issues of privatization and globalization. And I have to tell you, the highest honor she's got is that she's been made an honorary member of the BCTF. Please welcome Maude Barlow.
Wow. Thank you so much for that absolutely beautiful introduction, Irene, and thank you very much for your warm welcome, sisters and brothers and colleagues. I'm a VCTFer, and congratulations, Ginny and Irene. I'm thrilled to be here and with you. Last time I was here, which wasn't very long ago, I meant to tell Ken Nowakowski this. Ken and I went to the dinner for Stephen Lewis. And afterwards, I got into a cab to go back to North Van, where I was speaking to the wonderful North Van teachers the next morning. My gang, so you'll remember this story. And there was a great big wicker basket in the back seat. And the guy said, I meant to tell you this, Ken, and the man said, now, can you get in there? Is there enough room? And I said, yes, what's this? And he said, I had two guys in the car. One of them fell asleep. All of a sudden, he jumped up, and they ran out of the car, and they left the wicker basket. And I said, well, what's in it? And he said, I don't know. So I peeked open. I picked up the lid, and it was absolutely full of marijuana, which is how I knew I was in B.C., right? It's a true story. So it reminded me of the old saying about politics in Canada, that in Atlantic Canada, it's a way of life. In Quebec, it's a religion. In Ontario, it's a business. On the prairies, it's a cause, and in BC, it's entertainment. No, in BC, you get them. You must turf those guys out. Please, this is my, I'm begging you. May 17th, change history in this province. Now, I know you're absolutely involved with British Columbia politics, and if I lived here, I would be absolutely involved with British Columbia politics, but today I want to talk to you about some Canadian and international issues, and as I think they really, they involve everybody, but they also impact dramatically on what somebody like Gordon Campbell is allowed to get away with. And I'm here to talk to you about something you're not reading in your newspapers and you're not seeing on your television, but that is taking place. And that is a very powerful campaign to create a North American common market, or there are many names for it, NAFTA Plus, Deep Integration, Fortress North America, by Canada's business and political elite. And I want to warn us that we need to wake up to what's happening, because very, very serious proposals are being made and very serious projects are already underway that are going to change the nature of this country. Tomorrow, as you know, George Bush and Paul Martin and Vicente Fox meet in Waco, Texas. We will not be flies on the wall. We will not hear the official description of what they're going to talk about. But we should know that there's very heavy pressure on Canada to make up for its decision on missile defense. And we need to watch what happens there and what comes out of it very closely. Now, not since 1984, when Brian Mulroney first got elected and took himself down to New York City and spoke to a blue-chip audience of business, elite business types, and said Canada's open for business, not since then has the groundwork been laid for such a big change, such a fundamental change in Canada's relationship with the United States. It's coming from two forces. It's coming from the Bush administration that wants to ziplock North America into a security perimeter because they are consumed with their concerns around terrorism and security. And it's coming from the major business lobby in Canada, which is called the Canadian Council of Chief Executives, used to be the Business Council on National Issues, same Tom DeCano, the same 150 corporations, many of them American that have branch plant companies here. And it's very heavily involved with the defense and energy industry because there's a lot of money to be made in this Fortress North America that these folks want to design. Now they call it, and they launched it, this Canadian Council of Chief Executives launched 2 years ago what they call the North American Security and Prosperity Agenda. The North American Security and Prosperity Agenda, you should learn about it. And that is that they are pursuing NAFTA Plus, they have been pursuing it actually, ever since they got NAFTA they decided to move on to the next. But after 9/11 they became very worried about border closures, and it's important to remember that what we warned when we fought the first free trade agreement and we fought NAFTA was that Canada would become too involved, too closely associated economically, socially, and every way with the United States, and we wouldn't have the ability, if the United States ever decided to close the border, to survive. And of course, in the first 10 years after that first free trade agreement, our exports to the U.S. dramatically rose, 250%. Now almost 90% of all our exports go to the U.S. So when they get angry, such as softwood lumber or the beef exports or whatever, we're really left with no alternative. Well, it became very clear after 9/11 that security trumped trade and economics for the first time in the United States. And the Canadian Council of Chief Executives took 100 Canadian business leaders to Washington in April 2003 to meet with their business counterparts and senior officials in the Bush White House, including Tom Ridge, then Secretary of Homeland Security, Spencer Abrams, who's the Secretary of Energy, and Richard Perle, who's the author of the Bush Doctrine on National Security. So this was a very high-level meeting. And it was clearly spelled out at that meeting, and Tom DeCano talks openly about this. This isn't me guessing. It was clearly spelled out to the Canadian business delegation that there would be no guarantee of open borders unless Canada agrees to make major new commitments on the security front with the United States. Canada's former ambassador to the U.S., Alan Gottlieb, says it this way: the Canadian political agenda is economic security. For Americans, it's homeland security. Therein lies the potential element of a grand negotiation. For the Bush administration, national security, it's important for us to remember, does not just mean protection from terrorism at home. Rather, it's part of their national security agenda, defending America's military, political, and economic interests abroad. And if Canada wants to be a true partner in the security perimeter, we have to be supporting America's image abroad. Now, the Canadian Council of Chief Executives came back to Canada determined to move this agenda forward, and they have moved it in a very, very powerful way, and again, under the radar screen. They're working with think tanks like the Fraser Institute and the C.D. Howe Institute. C.D. Howe has put out no fewer than 14 white papers since that meeting on all aspects of Canada-U.S. Hegemony and integration. Wendy Dobson of the C.D. Howe Institute calls this the big idea and says that we have to offer up our health care and our water in order to secure that border. Then they set up a task force on the future of North America, set up by the very influential U.S.-based Council on Foreign Relations and the two chairs from Canada. There are two chairs from Canada, two from the U.S. and two from Mexico. The two Canadian co-chairs are Tom DeCano of the Canadian Council of Chief Executives and John Manley, who was foreign minister, finance minister, and wants to be prime minister in some not-too-distant future. They had an interim report, which you may have read about last week, but more importantly, we got a hold of the minutes of one of their meetings. And here's what they're talking about, and this is on our website, Canadians.org. You can find this on our website. They're talking about a North American security perimeter. This is just flying. Too many planes. I'm fine. A North American security perimeter, which is basically ziplocking North America into a Bush administration-designed security, Gordon Campbell called ziplocking North America. They're talking about a common North American passport. They're talking about a common North American customs union. They're talking about expansion of NATO to land and sea. And as you know, Paul Martin just announced an additional $13 billion to the military in his budget. They're talking about a North American logo and going into all of the schools across North America and teaching the children about this new vision for North America. They're talking about our now advancing us as a one trade bloc so that we would negotiate internationally as one trade bloc. Right now, we're into negotiations on services about the Free Trade Area of the Americas and at the WTO General Agreement on Trade and Services. Can you imagine going into those negotiations with the United States as a partner instead of against in terms of health and education? It would be a terrible mistake. They're talking about one common process for refugees and immigrants and even visitors visiting North America. Somebody comes to visit you from somewhere else in the world, has no intention of going to the United States, is just coming to visit you, they would still have to seek and get approval of the U.S. Homeland Security Department. They are talking about a joint energy policy, an energy pact that would secure all of our Athabasca tar sands and beyond to the United States. And excuse me, a lot of us who watch NAFTA very closely can't imagine what else they can get after the proportional sharing agreement of the North American Free Trade Agreement, in which we agreed to continue to export at the current levels, and we can never decline, we can never bring back or conserve our own energy. They're talking about one set of tests and standards on the environment, health and safety, so that if something has been, it's called a tested once policy, if something has been given the go-ahead in the United States, we wouldn't have the right to have a separate regime here in Canada. And this week, perhaps tomorrow, perhaps the next day, they're going to publish their smart regs report. This is a smart regulation which is now becoming part of Canada's foreign policy. And it's basically about harmonizing our regulations across the country and then across the U.S. border. And they're talking openly about reducing the burden on business and making it easier to cross border. So for the first time in Canada, instead of government regulation intervening in the market would have the official housekeeping seal of approval to intervene in all government regulation. And of course, this is exactly what the General Agreement on Trade and Services meant to be. This would put profit before safety. And then in this leaked memo, they also said, and the words are exact, it is absolutely clear that nothing is sacred and off the table, including Canada's water. That's what they said. They also talked about unrolling the exemptions that were gained, the unnamed exemptions that were gained under NAFTA, and that, of course, includes education, health. Now, I have many concerns with this process and what's happening, and I'm very briefly going to share four of them and then just tell you a tiny bit about what we're doing. And the time we have, I can just give you kind of an overview, but I love to have you working with us, going on our website, learning more about this. But I have four concerns that I want to share with you. First of all, under this scenario, Canada will lose the ability to have an independent foreign policy, and we would lose our role as global peacekeeper. And you should know that we're already in retreat from being a peacekeeper. We have the lowest percentage of our armed forces acting now or in serving as peacekeepers since the Second World War. Now, yes, it is true that Paul Martin recently said no to missile defense to George Bush, but you need to know that that's because the Canadian people told him to say no. He's in a minority situation and he had no choice. Paul Martin had already committed to missile defense, which is why it took Cellucci and the Bush administration so by surprise, and this does not mean that he could not change his mind if he gets a majority government in the next election. And Stephen Harper's Conservatives just held their convention, as you know, and they passed a resolution in support of missile defense. So this issue is dead for now, but it is not dead at all in the long run. And as you know, the United States has taken a very aggressive first strike position under George Bush. They've just named Paul Wolfowitz to the World Bank. Paul Wolfowitz is an extreme neoconservative. Sorry, this is not a cold. I spent too much time on planes and my voice dried out. Paul Wolfowitz is a neoconservative and the architect of George Bush's Middle East policy. And they've also sent John Bolton to the United Nations. John Bolton is an America firster. His views on the evils of multilateralism are extreme. He's currently Undersecretary of State for International Security, and he was the one who killed the anti-ballistic missile treaty, and he is opposed to the International Criminal Court. And under George Bush, military spending has soared to $445 billion this year. So that's a very big first concern that we should have. A second, and we've had hearings across the country with our organization, and this is the one that has come back time and again, is the concern about human rights or civil liberties in our country and as well, of course, in the United States. They're talking about a security perimeter that would allow armed American guards onto Canadian soil at ports and at our borders in order to ensure that they feel that border is sufficiently safe. You may not know that we have just signed a third safe country policy, which means that we can no longer accept refugee claimants coming across the United States, say from Latin America, who want to come into Canada. We now have to turn them back to the United States, and many of them, I got water, thanks, and many of them are turning around and being sent back to internment camps in the U.S. and then deported back to Latin America. So Canada's record of being able to take in refugees that the United States did not would not take has ended, and that officially ended about a month and a half ago. We also passed fairly draconian anti-terrorism legislation in C-36. We also put in place a data bank which contains private information on the foreign travel of all Canadians. And now, and this is in this new report, they want a North American biometric identification based on iris pattern and face geometry. I'm not making that up.